kings and mistrust and all of that political intrigue that remains with us today. But from time to time, everyone stands in need of some divine intervention, something that will bring them hope, bring healing into their lives. Doesn't matter who we are or what we do, no one gets through this life absolutely free of difficulty. So today's story begins with Naaman, the commander of the king's army, a great man in high favor with his master. The writer of 2 Kings paints the picture of a very big man in the world, an important man, a four-star general decorated for military victories, head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He sits in favor with the king. Naaman is somebody to reckon with. Don't get in his way. And it is important that we understand how powerful this man is in every way. The author of Kings makes it clear. There is nothing about him that isn't big. And that's how the story begins. However, the story takes a sudden turn because Naaman, though a mighty warrior, suffers from leprosy. And when we hear this, suddenly our picture of him changes, doesn't it? The way we picture him shifts in our imagination. All of his greatness described at the start can't do a thing to change this one terrible truth. He suffers from an unclean illness. This is a mighty warrior, but he is infected with a disease so devastating that the skin on his body begins to look like it is rotting on his bones. Naaman definitely is in need of help, of hope, of intervention by God. And God answers Naaman in a new character that comes into the story, a messenger who is very, very different from this mighty warrior. She's nothing dramatic. There's no show of great power like Elijah calling out Ahab or an angelic visitation or pigs running over a cliff and dying. Instead, God's messenger turns out to be a slave girl who has been taken and brought here by soldiers who are on a raid into Israel. See, mighty warriors were accustomed to the spoils and treasures of war, gold and silver and chariots and horses and slaves. And this slave is as small as Naaman is big. The power he has is the power she lacks. Yet she is not silent. If only my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria, she tells her mistress, he would cure him of his leprosy. Now, it would come as no surprise if this prisoner slave girl had kept that knowledge to herself. After all, she had no reason to love her situation or her master. Yet when she saw the suffering of her master, she was moved to share a message of hope in God, even with an enemy holding her captive. So often we are surprised at the way God chooses to intervene in our lives, to intervene to bring healing and wholeness and restoration. And so often God's help comes from the least expected sources, like a slave girl or a prophet's messenger, the little people of the world, or the people that we just as soon not deal with. So with his own set of expectations, Naaman, a very important man, makes his way finally to the prophet's home. This is an important man, but does the prophet come out to see him? No, he sends a messenger. He says, go and tell him to wash. Which, of course, the all-important Naaman sees as an insult. He's a man with authority. He's accustomed to speaking with kings and his king and other kings. And who does Elisha think he is? This prophet must not know how important I am. I have no intention of washing in the muddy Jordan River. If Israel's prophet is going to disrespect me by not even coming out to meet him, then I will spurn Israel's river and I will go home to our country and wash in one of our lovely, beautiful rivers. That should be good enough. And with that outburst, this mighty warrior returns toward home. And we might think that that would be the end of the story, except for the servants. Naaman's servants are horrified with their master's behavior. And I'm sure some long conversation took place where someone drew straws and the loser got elected to go and talk to the master and said, "Father, if the prophet had commanded you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? If you do something difficult, then why won't you do this simple thing? Go and wash in the river and be cleansed of this disease." Whoever this servant is a wise, psychological, understanding person, because he knows exactly how to get under Naaman's skin. He knows exactly which buttons to push. Appeal to his sense of bravery. Appeal to the fact that, of course, he has done difficult things many times in his life. He is a mighty warrior. So surely he is brave enough to wash in a muddy river. And with that, Naaman turns around, heads back down to the Jordan River, and immerses himself 7 times. And when he comes up out of the water on the 7th time, he looks down at his hands and his feet, and he sees flesh that is like that of a young boy. I yearn for that flesh. And though it might have been easy to do so, not one of his servants says, "I told you so." So there are 2 characters named in this story, Naaman and Elisha. But if not for the servants, the small, unnamed people, the least expected ones, without the slave girl who spoke of God's prophet, without the servants who turned Naaman's pride around, the story would have ended very differently. In fact, it probably wouldn't even have been recorded at all. This mighty warrior is made whole by the power of God through the intervention of servants, the powerless. And finally, by Naaman's act of obedience. You see, it isn't the water that makes Naaman clean. It is his submission to the will of God. And once again, God turns the world upside down and sets it on its head. The servants lead their masters, and the weak guide the strong. And in the end, Naaman, who was offended that Elisha would not stand before him, finds himself standing before Elisha, helped and healed by the power of God. In last week's sermon, I spoke about becoming humble enough for God to correct us. Now it seems we must be humble enough to not think too highly of ourselves or too lowly of others, so that we can accept God's blessing in the simple and often surprising ways that they come. We need a humble faith that is open to the simple ways of God. We like things complicated, but for some reason that's not how God works. You see, Naaman was a mighty warrior. But all of his might, all of his strength, all of his wealth could not restore him to health. He would never have been healed had he not listened to those who were the least likely for him to listen to, the ones who had no power. And wouldn't the world be a healthier place if we could all grasp a vision bigger than our sense of justice and power and might? Whoever we are, wherever we are, alone or with others, how can we humble ourselves to listen for the messengers of God? How can we serve together to uphold God's vision for the world? I think we should at least start with this prayer. God, humble us. God, help us. God, heal us. Amen.